to greet each one in Jesus' name this morning. I've been blessed in the service this morning. Thank you, brother. I was especially touched this morning singing those two Spanish songs. I know that every one of us has a well called memory that we drink from at various times. I suppose there's at least two brothers in this audience that will remember this young man that I thought about this morning. Does anyone in this audience remember Kelvin in Honduras? Can you raise your hands if you remember Kelvin? 23 years ago, I remember sitting under a white tent before the church was built in Honduras in that fledgling mission effort. And community folks came, and among them was Kelvin, and he was about the age of these young people this morning, Ethan and Jalinda. He came there, and he sang heartily. He would throw his head back, and I remember one of his favorite songs was Yo Soy Tuyo. And he loved Más Allá del Sol. He would throw his head back, he would sling his arm in the air, and he would sing heartily. But to my knowledge, Kelvin never lived out the principles of those songs. The last time I visited Honduras, I was riding on the back of a pickup truck. We went through town and we stopped at a red light, and Kelvin was standing in the center of the road begging. This morning, my mind went back there because we're here at a baptism. We're here where these two young souls are going to commit themselves that I am yours today, Lord. And then that's easy to say. But the life that lives it brings such blessing. We don't have to stand in the center of the road, a pauper begging. Maybe someday God will allow poverty to the point that we'll have to beg. I'm not saying that. You know what I'm saying? This morning, we can have a place with the people of God if we live out the principle that we committed to, I am yours, Lord. And there's a home for the soul beyond, and I'm living for that. So thank you for leading those songs, Brother Oscar. This morning I'd like to speak about the ordinance of water baptism. It's a doctrinal message, and I like to keep it simple, and it will perhaps be short. Because I don't want us to lose our way on what does this mean this morning? What is happening? This ordinance of water baptism. Now, sometimes we wrestle with this question. The Catholic Church has sacraments. And as a church, we talk about baptism as an ordinance, not a sacrament. Is there a difference? What is the difference? The dictionary says that a sacrament is a ceremony that imparts divine grace. It does something to us. And the Catholics would believe that as a priest blesses the bread and the wine, if I have this correctly, they believe that it's changed to the body and blood of Christ. And we don't believe that the bread and the wine become the body of Christ. We believe they are symbols of it, but they're not the literal body and blood of Christ. So an ordinance is an outward ceremony with an inner spiritual reality. We wrestle with this question, does an ordinance create something? Does an ordinance change something? Say a sacrament, in its strictest sense, a sacrament is to create a spiritual reality. That's why the Catholics would rush to a deathbed to serve them communion, to help to see to it that they're saved, to accomplish a spiritual reality before they leave this life. We believe that communion is commemorative, is remembering what Christ done for us. But the question is, what does an ordinance do for our heart? What does this ordinance of baptism do this morning? I think, and I'm still studying this subject, and I open myself to you to help me figure it out. And as a church, we should think through this. We saw that the Catholics take a sacrament too far, and they look at it as creating a spiritual reality. And as a group of people, we pulled back to say an ordinance is more ordinary. But maybe we pulled it back too far. Because maybe we've made baptism to not be significant enough. Maybe we've made communion to be too close to a fellowship meal. In other words, if you miss communion, how serious is it? Doesn't something happen collectively when the body gathers together and observes an ordinance of communion? Doesn't something, well, one of the bishops said that the life and righteousness of an ordinance is in the doing of it, not in the emblem. You understand that? And so when we gather together this morning, Brother Anthony has a pitcher of water that I believe he drew out of the faucet here. It probably even has chlorine in it. There's nothing holy with this water. There's nothing. We didn't buy it from a special place. It didn't come from the PMC office blessed by the bishop board. It's ordinary water. But it stands for something significant. And as it's administered this morning as an ordinance of baptism, it has a significant spiritual value. And for these young people to say, I want to be baptized, they will make a vow of commitment to Christ this morning. And when I pour water on their heads, that's a significant event that happens in the doing of baptism. And when we're done with it, Anthony can pour the rest of the water out, because there's nothing spiritually significant in that water alone, except when it's in my hand being administered on the app. Do you understand what we wrestle with? There is significance in baptism, and it's a seal, it's a sign, it's a public declaration of who we are. And so I believe it's a ceremony that we do here that heaven recognizes. And we're going to look at this morning. We're going to look at baptism. And so I have 4 points this morning in this morning's message about the ordinance of water baptism. And so for the first point, go with me to Acts chapter 2. And we want to read verse 37 to 47. Acts 2, 37 to 47. Now, I'll tell you what this point is before we read these verses, because I want you to think about it. You may ask the question, is it true that this is what's here? The point is that baptism is for believers. Baptism is for adults who believe in Jesus Christ. Now let's read these verses, and you look for proof that this was believers who were adults who were old enough to understand Jesus Christ is my salvation. Acts 2:37. This follows Peter preaching on the day of Pentecost, preaching a powerful sermon, and then it says, verse 37, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? They knew they had to do something. They felt bad. They felt a need of movement towards something. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all of them that light of truth in 2023. Well, it doesn't say it that way. It says, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Now he's starting to tell the people what it means to be baptized, how you have to live, what discipleship means. He says, save yourself from this untoward generation. And they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly. Here's some more requirement for living after baptism. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. They cared about each other. There's brotherhood. There's giving. They sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. You see clearly, here is people who are old enough to understand the call of God. And baptism is for believers. Because verse 37, they had a knowledge of sin. And verse 38, they were to repent and be baptized. Little children can't repent. And verse 40, they were called to separate themselves from the world. So they need to have some understanding of what the world is and what the people of God, the call of God is on their life. And they need to know and they need to commit themselves that I am not going to follow the world. I'm yours, Lord. And so baptism is for believers. And so then as we read these verses, you see there's Bible teaching. They were preaching. There was studying the word together. There was worship. There was fellowship. There was sharing together. There was brotherhood. And verse 47 says people were added to the church. Added. Made a part of. Counted in the number. Well, it doesn't say that. But turn back one page to Acts chapter 1, verse 15. Those of you that were at conference, remember this, and this stuck with me. Acts chapter 1, verse 15. This is just prior to the Holy Ghost falling upon the church. Verse 15 says, and in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, so here's a bunch of people gathered together, and the parentheses in this verse says, the number of the names together were about 120. It's more than 12. They had numbers and names. The number was 120. The roll call, if you please, was 120. Do you think they knew when all of them were present? I think they did. And so as in this Acts chapter 1, there was, I'm going to call it an enrollment. There was 120. There was names and numbers. We call this church membership. We believe in church membership where you are a part. And this morning, Ethan and Jolinda, upon baptism, you will be a member of Light of Truth Congregation. And you see, we must understand this because sometimes we get the question on communion Sunday morning, why don't we serve communion to everyone? Our communion table is not open for just everyone. It's open for those who have established membership. Here is the open part of the church to come, believe in Christ, confess your sins, receive instruction. We have an instruction class to make sure we understand the word and the principles of the word. And then there's baptism Or there's the confession of faith, if we were baptized with a believer's baptism before. And there's entrance into this body, and we're a member, and then we partake of all of the other ordinances. We exchange the holy kiss with fellow members, fellow believers in Christ, and we come to communion, and we partake, and we share in feet washing. It's all of those things. And then James tells us that if any is sick, let him call for the elders. This is an adult who is a member who knows he's sick and knows that God has given the ordinance of anointing with oil, and he calls for his elders, the preachers, to come and anoint him. That's part of that's one of the ordinances that we practice among the membership, among the body, among the group. And so baptism is for believers, and it brings us into the number of the believers. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 on this thought of baptism bringing us into the body. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13 says, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body." Now I lost my place. By one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be Spanish or English. Well, it doesn't say that, but whether we be bond or free, you know what it means. That verse says that the Holy Spirit baptism brings us into one body. A little later, we're going to talk about this water baptism being a sign of Holy Spirit baptism. I believe that the Holy Spirit comes upon believers when they confess and repent and pray and they're saved. I believe that Jolinda and Ethan had Holy Spirit baptism earlier, and now today, this recognizes that. This water baptism is to say that that happened when they became a Christian. I believe if any of them would have passed away before they were baptized, they were safe in Christ while they're instructed until we have this baptism. That's why I like baptism to follow somewhat close to conversion. Years ago, maybe it was farther between. But I believe that believers are safe from the time of their conversion until their water baptism. If they are in instruction and they're walking the way and they're faithful in that, I believe they're safe. And this water baptism this morning is recognition of Holy Spirit baptism. And it says that when the Spirit baptizes you, he baptizes you into one body, which is Christ, which is the church, which he is ahead of. And that's one of the reasons why I believe that water baptism is connected with church membership, because it's part of the sign of Holy Spirit baptism, and it brings us into the body. That's why I push back against the popular teaching today that says you should be able to baptize without church membership, because baptism, aside from church membership, leaves a body outside of the body of Christ, unless you believe that anybody can be part of the body of Christ. And you need no local attachment. The New Testament is a picture of local churches. And that's a whole subject in itself. I don't want to get lost in that this morning. Galatians 3:27, "For as many as you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." And he goes on in that same context and says, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus." I rejoice this morning that baptism brings us into a body that is diverse. I love a service where we have a translator. I love to hear Brother Jorge share his thoughts in Spanish and someone translate. I'm trying hard to learn the Spanish language better. And I could get most of what Jorge said this morning before Anthony translated it. And I wrote down some of those difficult words because I love the diversity of the church. I love the fact that the blood of Jesus Christ is for all nations and all peoples. And it brings us as one in the body of Christ. Gringos and Spanish people And we share together in communion in holy bonds of the body of Christ. And I love that. I rejoice in that. And I'd love to bring in some German-speaking people and some, you know what, from all people, nations, and languages. What would it be like if Light of Truth could have 12 different nationalities and languages here in membership? And you try to translate for all of them. You know, New York City, it might be possible someday to have a congregation of 12 different languages because we're baptized into one body. It is Jesus Christ, and it doesn't matter what race you're of. You can smile at each other and say, Dios le bendiga. Well, baptism is for believers. If I don't keep moving, I won't have said the truth that this message will be short. Number two. Baptism is an ordinance of surrender. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And he goes on to talk about that. But what I want to focus on is, this is the story of crossing the Red Sea. And I don't know exactly how this transpired, but this says that the children of Israel were baptized from a cloud in the sea as they passed through the sea. It is possible that as the children of Israel walked through on dry land, the clouds began to sprinkle on them, a little like it is out there today, a little mist on them, sprinkled on them, that water baptized them unto Moses. It was a baptism to bring them under the leadership of Moses. And in submission to Moses' leadership, in a departing from Egypt and crossing the Red Sea, putting aside Egypt, walking with Moses. You remember later they talked to Moses and said, Moses, we remember the good food back in Egypt. But this was to be a symbol of the Christian life, the crossing of the Red Sea, baptized unto Moses. It's possible that the same waters that baptized their heads began to make mud for the Egyptian army to get stuck in and destroy them. It's possible. It's possible that the same waters that baptized and blessed the children of Israel cursed the Egyptians. The point is that baptism is an ordinance of surrender. Go with me back to Exodus chapter 14. This is the story of crossing the Red Sea. And this verse tells us when they stood on the other side, the children of Israel were finished baptized. They were baptized, they crossed the Red Sea, there they stood, and they watched God destroy the Egyptian army. Look at what it says in chapter 14, verse 31. Exodus 14, 31, and Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Baptism is an ordinance of surrender for people who fear the Lord, believe the Lord, and find themselves submitting to the earthly authority that God has placed in their lives, the church. Moses, if you please. Excuse me. Here was this baptism of surrender, baptized unto Moses, unto his leadership, which was under the hand of God. The cloud and the fire that led them. Moses was doing the work of God. It was not Moses' people, it was God's people. But Moses was a physical leader, the face of God as he led the people. So they were baptized unto Moses. Go with me to Romans chapter 6. Talking about baptism being an ordinance of surrender. Romans chapter 6. And verse 3, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? What is the key principle of Jesus' death? When Jesus was facing the cross, what did he say as he wrestled? What took him to the cross? You know what took him there? He said, not my will, but thine be done. What do you call that? Surrender. We are baptized into his death. We are baptized into the likeness of Christ's death. And it was a surrender to the Father's will. Therefore, we are buried with him in baptism, by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. As we're baptized, as baptism is an ordinance of surrender, as I surrender to be baptized, surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, it will create newness of life as I follow that new master. And regeneration is the creating of a new heart and mind that happens when I surrender to Jesus Christ. Excuse me. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Excuse me. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of righteousness. See that word yield? That's surrender. That's submit. That's giving. He says, don't give your members to unrighteousness, but give them unto God. But yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Baptism is an ordinance of surrender. And surrendering to the Father's will brings new life within, a new walk with God, a new master, brings life in a spiritual sense, resurrected life. And then the promise of resurrection from the dead as the righteous. And so it's a surrender. We're baptized into his death. Our baptism is an act of surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And then we walk in newness of life. And so baptism seals our commitment to Christ. We make a vow to serve Jesus and be part of his body, just like the song said, I'm yours, Lord, and will be yours. We surrender to his leadership. We carry his name and identity. We're not ashamed to be called the people of God. Not ashamed to act like the people of God. Not ashamed to be different from the world. Become a part of his church and surrender. Number three, baptism is a sign of being cleansed from sin. We read Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus. For why? For the remission of sins. Baptism is a sign of being cleansed from sin. Remission means putting away sin. It means being cleansed, having it off of our record. I'd like to go to 1 Peter chapter 3. Here's a verse that refers to baptism. And it's one of Peter's hard verses. There's some senses of it that are easy to be understood, but there's some parts of it that may be a little complex. 1 Peter 3, verse 20. Just breaking into here to his thought. 1 Peter 3, verse 20. Which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein a few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. The like figure whereunto baptism does also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he says here that there was a day when God wanted to judge the world for sin right away. And he said he waited while the ark was prepared to save the 8 souls. And so when that ark was prepared, then the floods poured out upon the earth. The waters rose. And you see the same waters. It says that the waters, the like figure, were unto baptism that also now save us. The water that saved Noah, the water that Noah's boat rode on top of and that saved him, is the same water that condemned the wicked. You heard that thought a little earlier, didn't you, about baptism? There's actually something this morning about baptism that, as an unsaved person watches baptism, it ought to grip their hearts and say, I see my need of baptism. I see my condemnation as I see these young people committing themselves. The same ordinance that speaks peace and blessing to these young people speaks warning to those who won't be baptized, those who won't confess Christ. And so there's this connection that the same thing that brings blessing to one brings condemnation to another. Perhaps that's the same thing that happens as we observe communion and other ordinances, where there's the saved and the church and the people of God, and there's those that are not a part of it. And there's this tension there that, how can I be part of this, to be part of the bride of Christ? And too much of modern Christianity has said anybody that just confesses Christ is a Christian, and it doesn't take much by way of identity. And I believe that the scriptures teach that there's an identity, there's a visible body, there's membership. Baptism is a sign of being cleansed from sin. And he says that this baptism doesn't take away the sin here this morning. It's a sign of what the blood of Jesus Christ did, cleansing away. And it's a sign of the clear conscience that's here. Baptism is a figure of a sign of putting away sin. We are not washed by sin by baptism. From sin by baptismal waters. We are washed from sin by Jesus' blood when we believe and confess our sin. And this morning, baptism is a symbol of what happened then, that day, that evening, that night, wherever it was that you young people gave your heart to the Lord. The day we believe in Jesus and repent and confess our sins, Jesus' blood washes away our sins. Our conscience is clean and free. The Holy Spirit comes into our heart. Holy Spirit baptism happens there. That night we prayed the sinner's prayer and we got up feeling at peace and could sleep. And baptism this morning is a declaration that this has happened. Now, number 4, and the last point, and the smaller point, because I don't have a verse to go to for this one. But it's a point that I believe is we need to make because of how we practice this. Since baptism involves all these deep truths, we believe it's wise to have a period of instruction before. See, I was talking about some lofty concepts and the chain that's wrought and who Christ is in his blood. That's all part of this. And I believe that when you read the accounts in Acts, when people were baptized immediately, many of those people were Jewish people who believed that the Messiah would come. And they were worshiping this in the synagogue, and they knew God, and they knew the law. And as they heard that Jesus is the Messiah, they said, I want to be baptized unto Jesus the Messiah. And they were baptized immediately. They had a knowledge of the word, and they were close to the kingdom. They simply needed the seal to say, I am Jesus. I am his follower. And that's why you have 3,000 at once, baptized the same day. I believe in our day today, as people come to Christ, it is wise for us to have a period of instruction to help them understand those 3 points. And there's perhaps others you could look at. But those 3 points and the weight of them and what it means in preparation so that this day is important to our lives as we look back, and it's an anchor to our soul. The day I said, I am Lord's, and the bishop sealed it with water on my head. If we were to baptize immediately when a person confesses Christ, there would be the possibility of so much unknown and many questions still in their mind. What am I doing with this? this giving a little period of time also gives a little time for these individuals to show their commitment to Christ, to prove it by faithfulness, to prove it by studying the Word, to show that here is a heart after God. And these young people have done that in instruction class. You could see that they wanted to know the Lord fuller. And, you know, they're young and maybe their answers are not as deep and difficult as or profound as maybe some bishops would write it, but that's okay. But there's this effort to try, and there's maybe they even ask their parents for the answer. And good things happen when daddies and mommies help them fill out these questions. And it's all in preparation to have as full of an experience as possible today when they're baptized. And so, baptism involves these deep truths, and we often have a period of instruction beforehand to prepare for this. And so, this morning, we come to this point. We come to this baptism. Brother Ethan Kreider and Sister Jolinda Kreider, they have given their hearts to the Lord. They have confessed Jesus Christ. They have repented of their sins and their own carnal way. And I asked them this morning, do you want to be baptized? And they said yes. They shook their head. We come to this point that they desire this connection with the body of Christ. And I go back to that young man I was thinking about in Honduras. And it's our interest as a church to help all people, young and old, to come to this place of commitment, to say, I am yours, Lord, and then to help them to walk that faithfully. And it's such a blessing this morning to have these young people who want to do this and want to take this step. And so we will grant them that request at this time.